If you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn to Psalm 63. We'll get there in a few minutes. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we're not going to take the time to read it this morning. If you were to turn there, maybe at some point throughout this week, you would make a plan to read 2 Chronicles 20 and the story there of King Jehoshaphat. He's in trouble. People groups have united against him, against Judah. There's a vast army coming against him. And by virtue of the response of the people, this is real trouble. They figure themselves doomed to defeat. And so as God's people, they do what God's people do when the enemy's coming. When the attack and certain defeat seems imminent, they begin to seek the Lord. Jehoshaphat calls the people to prayer and fasting. He leads them in prayer and concludes with this in 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 12. O our God, we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. These are incredibly unique times that we're living in. I think they're becoming more and more incredibly perilous times. Even more and more perilous. This morning, I really sense a word from the Lord for us. I pray that you listen closely. Three things today. First, we're going to call it the reality. I believe we're under attack. Listen to me, brother, sister, child of God. I believe that this is the word from the Lord, that this is the reality that God would have us to know and see. In all things related to life and circumstances now that all of us are dealing with and all of us going through, related to the days and times that we're living in, there is a spiritual battle happening. I believe it's the deception of the enemy that would make you to think and lead you into thinking that all we're experiencing now is anything less than that. You think it's about a virus. You think it's about government control. You think it's about face masks, whether you should or shouldn't wear them. Listen, I don't know how else to say it, but I believe it's true, and I believe it's the word from the Lord today. If you think that this is that, you've been duped. You've been deceived. You've fallen right into the enemy's trap. This isn't about that. It's about a spiritual attack aimed at you, a spiritual attack against you. The enemy is at the gates with a singular purpose to ruin you, to annihilate you, to steal and kill and destroy in you, to compromise everything that God would want to do in you and everything that God would want to do through you. In Luke chapter 22, we read this is the night of Jesus' arrest. And in fact, the group, the mob has come to arrest them, arrest Jesus, and he addresses them. Basically, lets them to know, I was in the temple, I've been in the temple all week, why didn't you arrest me then? And then Jesus concludes really the answer to his own question. This is your hour. And watch this, this is what he says. When darkness reigns. I believe that's what this is. I believe that's this day and these times. Darkness reigning. Things are just different and not different in a good way. It's like the life has been sucked out of nearly everything. Jenny was just talking the other day about how just going to the store, how she loves going to the store, how she used to love going to the store. And even if there wasn't an agenda, even if there wasn't a grocery list to complete, it was just to be in the store and to be around people and to be able to walk through the aisles and to be able to look around. Love doing that even for the purpose of just going to go, but not anymore. And nobody anymore seems to want to go just to go. We don't like the face mask. We can't talk to anyone. We go down the wrong way with the arrow in the aisle, and it's just all confusing and can't. Plus, there's the overarching umbrella of, if I go out, might maybe I get sick or catch the virus somehow, some way. Everything's different. And not good different. It's weird different. It's yuck different. Something just doesn't feel right. Things have become more intense. Everyone's on edge. Arguments, animosity, hostility comes quicker. Things get out of hand real fast. The fuse might have been short before, it's shorter now. The explosion comes sooner and seems to be way bigger. There's more division than there is unity. Maybe we were never really good at it anyways, but we're getting worse and worse. In fact, I wonder if it's become extinct, the fine art of agreeing to disagree. We don't do that. Feel angry, harbor bad feelings and ill will towards, verbally attack, even sense hatred inside for them and for their opinion that's different than mine and obviously wrong because it's different than mine. That's what we do, and that's what we do real good. In Matthew chapter 20 and verse 12, Jesus speaking of the end. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. The contemporary English says it this way: evil will spread and cause many people to stop loving others. Everyone's upset. Everyone's unsettled, more anxious, more worried. People are depressed. Was just talking to an individual this last week, and they were telling the story of a family member, teenager, doesn't want to come out of a room, doesn't want to talk to anyone, doesn't want to go anywhere. The weight, the burden of these last few weeks and last few months seemingly taking a toll on her. This was told in a sense of concern. This is what's happening. Here it is, our daughter. We're concerned for her in a sense that this is how she is now. She didn't used to be that way. Maybe there's a sense of just being a teenager, and what teenager wants to hang out with mom and dad and the rest of the siblings anyways. And so I would understand that. But this, even from her folks, it's just different for her. I was talking to an individual this last week. Things were piling up, the burden of it, the weight of it. And as they're talking to me on the phone, they're just weeping. I can't understand hardly what they're saying, all that they're saying, because there's just this weeping. There's just this anguish. They're literally sobbing, that sort of weeping that is having to catch your breath because you're just overwhelmed and in it all, and you're trying to talk, but you can't talk in the midst of the sobbing and the hyperventilating or whatever it is. And if you ask me today what was the problem, I don't know if I could tell you the problem. And I think that if I could tell you the problem, well, we talked about this, you would be like, they were weeping over that? But I don't think it was about that. It was that piled on top of this, on top of that, on top of still this. It was one. There was health issue. There was financial issue. There were relational issues. There was just the stress of life. And it was becoming overwhelming to the point where this person just weeping on the phone. Jesus will speak of the time of tribulation. Jesus will refer to signs that lead up to that as sort of birth pains. The signs will happen more and more, and they'll get more and more intense. So the picture that Jesus presents, there are these things that are going to happen in the tribulation. And let me just remind you this morning, we're not here for that. We believe that before that, there is the sound of a trumpet that catches us away to be forever with the Lord. And we look forward to that, and we're glad for that. But Jesus will talk about the time of the tribulation, and he'll talk about leading up to that time. There will be more and more and more of these things that are going to happen then. And there'll be more and more and more intense these things that will happen then. So Jesus will talk about wars and earthquakes, and it's going to be wars that will turn the world upside down in the tribulation. But leading up to that, there will be wars more and more and more, and they'll be more and more intense. So in Matthew 24, Jesus is describing the tribulation, but gives us a picture of what the days leading up to that will be like, our day. Matthew 24 and verse 21, this is going to be trouble on a scale beyond what the world has ever seen, or we'll see again. If these days of trouble were left to run their course, nobody would make it. But on account of God's chosen people, the trouble will be cut short. That's the tribulation. Jesus is describing that. We're not here for that. But do you understand everything that he talks about leading up? It's more and more looking like that. More and more that becoming the norm. And isn't it true? We live in a day of trouble like we've never seen before. That's the reality for us right now. This time, our day, trouble like that. More and more trouble, and more trouble getting more and more intense. Darkness reigning. A spiritual heaviness, a spiritual darkness, a spiritual oppression. I sense it. I feel it in my own life. I sense it and I feel it when I talk to you, that you're feeling the same. That you're feeling that this is a spiritual battle. That you're feeling this is a spiritual attack. You're feeling the spirit. I hear you tell me that. This is a spiritual darkness that you're feeling, that you're sensing, a spiritual oppression that you're feeling and that you're sensing, and in fact, maybe experiencing. It's the real trouble that you're facing maybe right now. Things just aren't right. Inside, how you feel, inside, all around you, there something is just off. It's just not the way it should be. Listen to me. I believe this is the word of the Lord for us. Don't make light of this time. Don't make light of these days. The reality, listen to me, you're under attack. What you're feeling, what you're going through, you're feeling and you're going through because you're under attack. Number two, we're going to call this the recognition. Everyone's on edge. We're on edge. We're more angry. We're more hostile. We're unsettled. We're troubled inside. We're anxious. We're worried. We're afraid. We're depressed. We've lost a sense of life and joy, excitement and passion. We don't want to do anything. We don't want to go anywhere. We hardly want to talk to anyone. There's a darkness that seems to reign, a spiritual oppression that we're living in and having to navigate through. We're under attack. The circumstances of our life right now, I believe this would be the word from the Lord for us as well. What does Jesus want you to see as the reality that you're experiencing? You're under attack. The enemy's after you, but this as well, the recognition that would simply be this. We need Jesus. Just Jesus. You don't need to take a stand for the president or against him. You need Jesus. You're so worried. I hope he gets reelected. Oh, if he doesn't get reelected, I hope he doesn't get reelected. Oh, how much better things would be if he doesn't. Listen, you're under attack, And who's sitting in the White House is not going to help you one little bit when the devil has put a bullseye on you. But Jesus can. Jesus will. You need him. You need Jesus. Just Jesus. You don't need to take a stand for or against face masks. You're so worried about that. Everyone ought to wear one. You just don't care for anyone but yourself if you don't. No one ought to wear one. You're just falling for the fake news, the hoax, the lie. We're just giving into the government's agenda to control us. Listen, you're under attack. You need Jesus. Just Jesus. You're angry. Your battle, your struggle, it's not with flesh and blood, though. You're under attack. The enemy that's after you is the devil. You're mad at people. You're yelling at people. You're getting upset because what they posted on Facebook. You're getting upset because that's their opinion, because that's what they said. Getting mad at people, yelling at people, posting on Facebook directed towards people. That won't give you the victory over him. Jesus can, though. He will. You need him. Just him. Listen, I fear as Christians, our minds have become consumed by everything except the main thing, which is simply this. We need Jesus. I need Jesus. You need Jesus. Just Jesus. I believe that today is all about the work of the enemy right now to bring separation between you and the Lord, trying to take from you your worship and your praise, your love, your adoration, trying to take from you your devotion. Come on, don't you sense that? Don't you sense it seems hard? I don't know that I always want to worship. I used to love worship. It's just, I don't know if it's quite the same. My mind's so distracted in the worship, in the praise, my love, my devotion, my commitment to the Lord. I'm just not sure it's the same as it used to be. I want it to be the same, but something's wrong. It seems like I'm running into an invisible wall as I'm trying to run after Jesus and find him. Devil's working in you and on you, trying to steal and destroy in you, kill in you your passion for the Lord, your obedience to him, your faithfulness to him. The devil wants you preoccupied so that you're too busy to do work for the kingdom, to do your Father's business. He wants you arguing about face masks rather than telling people the love of Jesus. Can I tell you, Christians, ours is still the message, the gospel good news that Jesus died for all humanity. It's not about freedoms. It's not about our government or our governor. It's not about face masks. It's not about a virus. Ours is still to go and to tell. How else can they hear unless somebody goes and tells them of Jesus? Ours is still the ministry of reconciliation. And we can't forget that. The devil wants to take that from us. I believe for us today, as much as that would be the work of the enemy, so it would be the work of the Lord right now here in this room, speaking to you, working in and on you, in it all and through it all, seeking to draw you to himself, helping you in the moment to realize and to recognize. Right here, right now, this is what I need. I need Jesus. Just Jesus. His is still the name that is above every other name, after all. His is still the name that makes the darkness tremble, the demonic to flee. His is still the name that brings to us the victory. Oh, do you remember we used to sing it back in the day, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, the devil, Satan, the demonic, the fear, the chaos, the confusion, the animosity, the hatred, it has to flee in the name of Jesus. When we go in the name of Jesus, who can stand against us? Who can stand opposed to us? Who can stop us? When we go in Him, in the name of Jesus, we do have the victory. We need Jesus. His is still the name that for you is a strong tower. You can run to it and be safe. This might be the day when darkness reigns. There might be a spiritual oppression that we're having to live through. But listen, in Jesus, you can be safe today. His is still the name that brings healing. His is still the name that gives you the power to get up and walk. Listen, you might be in trouble, under attack, in the darkness. You've maybe stumbled and fallen. You're struggling. You're hurting. I don't know all that you should do or all that you would need to do. I don't have silver, nor do I have gold. But what I have is a word from the Lord that would remind you it's in the name of Jesus you can get up and walk. It's in the name of Jesus you can navigate rather than being sunk by the storm you're in, walking above it, walking through it. It's still in His name that you can start running and living, leaping and praising God, even in the midst of the troubled times that you find yourself in. We need Jesus. His is still the name that brings peace. I was just talking to Phil this last weekend, this last Friday night, and Phil was just sharing a little bit of a pattern where he wouldn't always fall asleep necessarily real easy. Not because it was always trouble, just a little bit that's him, that he just doesn't sleep very well or fall asleep very quickly. And just the other night, he was telling the story of how he just, Lord, I just, all the concern, all the worry, I'm just giving it to you. And he said, basically, I don't want to put words in your mouth, Phil. He doesn't remember anything after that until he woke up the next morning. His is still the name that brings peace. His is still the voice that speaks peace so that the wind and the waves must be still. His is still the name that restores joy, the name that gives life. This is true. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus comes to give life, even resurrection life. You might find yourself under attack. The darkness reigns. There's a spiritual oppression in it. You may feel as though some things have died, but it's in His name that life is restored. Prophet Ezekiel saw it, that dry bones get up and live again. We need Him. We need Jesus. In Him we have the victory. In Him we're safe and secure. In Him we find joy forevermore. Peace that passes all understanding. Life that's more and better than we could find anywhere else. In Him we experience renewal, even revival, despite the calamity we find ourselves in. Don't miss it, church. We might be under attack. There might be a darkness that reigns. There might be a spiritual oppression that has settled over everything. But I would still remind you the words of Jesus, I will build my church, and the gates even of hell will not be able to stand against it. This might be a day of darkness. This might be a day of oppression, but we, as the church of Jesus, as the family of God, can still experience renewal and revival. You're under attack? Yes, you are. I believe it. Is there a darkness? Is there oppression that all of us are finding ourselves in? I believe there is. Despite that, this can be for us a time of refreshing. It's one of my favorite verses in Scripture. Every time I read it, oh, how it becomes the longing, the desperate longing for my heart. Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, repent, turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. I believe it today that for so many of us right now, it's just not that. In fact, for many of us, it's the furthest thing from that. If the time of refreshing from the Lord is here, we're so far over there, we can't even imagine what that looks like, let alone see it. I believe it's true today that the Lord comes to us in this moment, reminds us that in Jesus and with Jesus, the time, the season, the day of refreshing from the Lord, it can be yours. In Jesus, it can be. Do you understand? No wonder we need Him, even just Him. No wonder the word of the Lord today that would speak to our hearts so that we might recognize, so that we might realize that again, with newfound clarity, with a newfound sense of urgency. We need Jesus. You need Jesus. I need Jesus. We need Him. Nothing else matters. Everything else is a distraction. Everything else is insignificant. Nothing else is important. Nothing else is necessary like Jesus is. We need Him. We need to press into Him. We need to devote our time to Him. We need to seek Him, to know Him. We need to meet with Him. We need to experience Him. Like Moses, we need to make our way to the mountaintop to let God know we're not taking another step if we have to go without His presence. To let God know, to make our demand of God. God, show us Your glory. Like Jacob, we need to get a hold of Jesus. I'm not letting go. Not until I get You. Not until You put Your blessing on me. Like the woman, we need to crawl our way to Jesus through the crowd. Even just to get our hands on the hem of His garment. Even just that. There needs to be a sense of urgency. There needs to be a sense of desperation. Even just that. Even just the hem of His garment. That'll be enough just to touch that. That's all I need. Even just that much of Him will be enough for me. Like blind Bartimaeus, we need to lift our voices yelling out for Him. Jesus. 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 Have mercy on me. And when the crowds try to quiet Him as they would try to quiet us, listen, that's too much. Listen, you need to settle down. Oh, it'll just stir within us more of a cry. Jesus, I need You. Just You. Like the one who sold all that he had to purchase the pearl of great price. The one who sold all that he had so that he could buy the land with the buried and the hidden treasure. We give up everything so that we can have Him. Like Paul, we count it all as rubbish. We want Jesus. Just Jesus. We need Jesus. Just Him. The darkness reigns. I believe it's the reality Jesus wants you to be aware of. There's a spiritual oppression over you, over your brothers, over your sisters. We're under attack. But lest you're discouraged by that, also this, that the Lord would have us to recognize today, we need Him. Because in Him, the darkness can't debilitate you, hurt or harm you. The darkness is oppressing. We feel it, we struggle in it and under it, but Jesus is calling so that we might recognize we need Him. He's the one who's the light. He's the one who defeats the darkness. Don't you recognize, don't you know it today to be true? More than ever before, unlike ever before, we need Jesus. Finally, this morning, it brings us to number three, the response. The reality of our day helps us to recognize that we need Him. That recognition helps us to respond accordingly, respond correctly. Darkness reigns. We need Jesus. So what do? We seek Him. In 2 Chronicles 20, Jehoshaphat puts it this way. O our God, we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on You. For each of us, it could be a bit different. So let me ask you this question. What does seeking Jesus look like for you? Let me take a moment. Maybe some of you, your response this morning, Pastor, you're really sort of preaching to the choir here with me. I know darkness reigns. I know I need Jesus, and I've been seeking Him. Well done in that. And I don't mean to diminish or discredit or make light of that. But I do believe that the message this morning is for each and every one of us. And I believe even the message for each of us today is the same. Seek Jesus. So for you, maybe we would add to our question a singular and simple word. What does seeking Jesus more look like for you? I am seeking him. Excellent. Keep that up. I hope you are. Good for you that you are. But this morning, how can you do it more? What can you do to draw closer still to him? Can I share one thought with you? Maybe you can seek him more by making more room for him. And that would potentially involve getting rid of some things in your life, rearranging some priorities, making things less so that he can be greater. It would potentially be that, but this is my thought today. Maybe you make room for him by sharing, by giving away what he's given to you, so that he in turn can do what? Give you more. Keep filling you with more. Maybe you make room for him by letting him use you in a greater capacity. You're seeking him. Maybe the more is asking the question, but am I letting him use me? You've sought him. You've experienced him. You've pursued him. You've hungered. You've thirsted for him. You've found him. Maybe the more is now sharing him with those that you would encounter. You've heard the illustration before. Everything flows into the Dead Sea, but nothing flows out. And so it is dead. And the reality is, for some of us this morning, maybe your heart is chasing after Jesus, but the truth to be told, you're dead. Because everything flows in you. Oh, you're in the prayer closet, and you're in the Word, and you're here this morning. And yes, I want more of Jesus, and yes, I want to seek Jesus, but nothing is happening with what he's giving to you. He's speaking to you, but you're not doing anything with that. It flows into you and dies there. Maybe the more for you, in fact, has nothing to do with you. Maybe the more is looking around. You're fine, but your brothers and sisters aren't. Your neighbor isn't. Listen, maybe for you, the more you're seeking Jesus, great, well done, keep it up. But have you said anything? Your brother, sister dying on the battlefield, calling the pastor up on the phone, weeping, weeping. Are you calling? Are you talking to anyone? We are zeroing in on the end. Literally each and every day, there would be a sense for we as Christians, we might not finish today because there might be the sound of that trumpet. Are you telling anyone that? Are you sharing with anyone that they need Jesus? Are you talking to your neighbor? Are you helping your brother or sister? Are you sending the card of encouragement? You're seeking Jesus. Everything's flowing in you. Is anything coming out? Is anything happening with what Jesus has blessed you with and given to you? Even if you're seeking him, and again, I hope you are, may the word of the Lord today make you determined to do that more. Whatever more would look like for you, this is just an example. Maybe the more is making more room by sharing what he's given. For others of us, the message resonates clearly. We hear it loud and clear because it's not about the more, not for us. We aren't, maybe even at all. We're not seeking him, nor calls us today to chase after him. You need Jesus. So, you seek him. What does that look like for you? What's your plan? Psalm 63, a few guidelines, and we're going to be very quick. A few suggestions in helping us paint that picture of what it looks like to seek Jesus. Verse 1, Psalm 63, O God, you're my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. That's first. Seek him earnestly. The definition defines the word this way: with sincere and intense conviction, seriously, not lightly, casually, or flippantly. Get serious about seeking Jesus. Serious like you would be in your thirst and search for water if you were in a dry and weary land. Seek him earnestly. Seek him desperately. One translation says it this way: my whole being desires you. The Message puts it this way: God, you're my God. I can't get enough of you. I've worked up such a hunger and thirst for God. Verse 2, I've seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. That's how you seek him, by seeking him here, chasing after him in worship, chasing after him in prayer, even simply by giving yourself to his word each and every Sunday. See him here, experience his presence here, linger in his presence here. Listen, it's crazy out there. I don't know why some of you are so rushed to get out of here on a Sunday morning. I don't know why I don't have to push you out. I've got to go. We're locking up. You've got to leave now. It's crazy out there. And here you experience his presence and the fellowship of like-minded believers and the love of God and the peace of God. In here you find rest for your soul in the time of prayer that we have, in the time of worship. Why are you so anxious to get back out there in that mess? Seek him here. Don't leave until you've met with him. Don't leave, but that first there's come a rest to your soul and a joy to your heart. Don't leave, but that first there's come the ministry of the Holy Spirit to draw you closer to the Lord. Verse 3, because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. Verse 4, I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I'll lift up my hands. Verse 5, my soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. Verse 7, because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. That's how you seek him, in worship and praise. And listen, I understand we're all different. We're not necessarily going to worship the same way. Some of us are more expressive. We're more loud. We're more animated. Others are maybe more reserved. But listen, Psalm 63 is clear, and because it is, it's not really about your personality. It's not really about your tradition. It's not really about what you're comfortable with or not comfortable with. It's about using your mouth to glorify God. It's about you singing. The fact that you're not a good singer, the fact that you don't like to sing, does that trump God's word? Does that excuse you? If so, what else? Well, I don't like not gossiping, so I'm going to X that out of the scripture as well. I don't like being kind to my enemy. Cross that one too. Do you understand? We can't do that with God's word. We tend to think worship is our own, and I want to caution you. It's yours in the sense of it has to be authentic. It has to come from your heart. It has to be done in spirit and truth. But willy-nilly, you just do whatever you want. No, there are clear guidelines in the scripture. And watch out now, because I'm going to go there. You see it in verse 4. And we lift our hands. But, oh, Pastor, I don't do that. I'm not comfortable with that. With the church I grew up, we never did that. I'm going to be honest, and I don't mean to offend. I don't care about what church you grew up in. The word says it. We don't all have to do it at the same time. We don't all have to do it at the same moment. We don't have to be robots in it. We don't do it to be fake and to let everybody see, hey, everybody see. Pastor said, lift your hands. I'm lifting mine. Don't anybody give me grief because I didn't. No. But the word is clear. Some of you this morning, this might be the first step. You're not going to be an observer in worship anymore. No matter how good or bad you sing, you're going to lift your voice. You're going to use your mouth to glorify God. Some of you are going to get crazy and you're going to lift your hands and worship and praise to him. You're going to enter in. You're going to seek him. For others, this might be the more. You're going to take your worship and your praise to another level, up a notch. Verse 6, on my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. That's how you seek him. That's what Phil did the other day. In the middle of the night, he turned his mind to Jesus and off the things that would make him not have a restful night of sleep. That's how you make your day, your night, to be at rest and filled with peace and joy. You set your mind on him. You make your mind to be consumed by him. In his book, Facing Your Giants, Max Lucado compares David's thoughts about God to his thoughts about Goliath. The premise, you're going to face giants. You can't avoid them. That's just the way of life. What you can do, no matter the giant in front of you, make sure that your focus is on God. So the comparison, the ratio, 9-2. David's thoughts with Goliath right there in the valley shouting his insults. David's thoughts are 4.5 times more about God than they are about the giant. It's almost like David doesn't even see the giant. In fact, David's only thoughts about the giants, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? That's his only thought. Who does he think he is? His thoughts 9-2, 4.5 times more about God. Listen, I believe it's from the Lord. COVID, face masks, the president, the governor, social distancing, the police, Black Lives Matter, protests, riots, statues. How about it? What's your ratio? Is it 9-2? Have you thought 4.5 times more about God than any of those things? Let's just have altar call right now and let me lead the way. Let's just say it the way it is. No way. But do you understand? You're under attack. It is the giant that is not just Goliath. It's the devil and the hordes of hell that have come against you. This is the day when darkness reigns. There's a spiritual oppression and a spiritual darkness that lingers. We all feel it. I know you do. We must seek after him, and part of how we do that is we have to find a way to get our thoughts on him and off all the mess. Jehoshaphat, my eyes aren't on the enemy. Oh no, what am I going to do? Oh no, let's send one army this way and one army that. Let's run. Let's try to make peace. No, God, my eyes are on you. David, 4.5 times more his thoughts on God than on Goliath. I don't know how you're going to do that. Maybe it's a verse of scripture. Maybe it's a little chorus. Maybe it's a prayer. Somehow, some way, you need to do it. You need to get your mind, your attention, and your focus on Jesus. That's how you seek him. So this morning, let me ask, what are you going to do to seek him earnestly? What are you going to do to get serious? I just sense it in my heart. Some of you, are you seeking God? Yes. You need the follow-up question. Don't be offended by it, but you need it. I just sense it from the Lord this morning. But are you seeking him seriously? With all your heart? Like searching for water in a dry and thirsty land. What are you going to do to seek him here? Some of you, you need to ask the question, how's Sunday morning going to look different? How's first Sunday night of the month going to look different? Because I'm going to be here for prayer. How's my worship going to look different? When we have a time of worship and prayer here at these altars, how's it going to be different? Because I'm beginning to seek God here in this place that I might know his glory and his power in this room before I ever step back out those doors. What are you going to do to seek him in worship? Spending more time praising him, overcoming the I don't want to and I don't feel like it. What are you going to do to set your mind more on him? And let me ask you, apart from Psalm 63, what else are you going to do? Darkness reigns. We need Jesus. So we're going to do whatever we can, all that we can, to seek him. Psalm 63 concludes in verse 8, my soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. Darkness, spiritual oppression, worry, fear, anxiousness, unsettled. Listen, the invitation from the Lord today, don't miss it. He wants to uphold you. in Matthew chapter 11, this from the Message. Are you tired? Worn out? Burned out? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Most of us know that as simply this: come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened. Darkness reigns. The struggle is real, but so is the invitation from Jesus today. Seek him. Come to him. He will uphold you. He will give you rest. In him, even in the midst of the darkness and the oppression, in him, you'll live life freely and lightly. Father, we sense today your word for us. I don't know that any of us really need to be told of the reality. I think we get it. I think there's something happening in our spirits that's resonating with the message so clearly this morning. This is not just trouble. We've had trouble that's really just sort of been trouble. We've gone through hard times, maybe in our individual lives, maybe even as a nation. And we know what that looks like. And this just isn't that. It's just not the same. There's something different about what we're going through now. And I think all of us would sense the truth of your word, the reality that you would have us to know we're under attack. And we don't take that lightly. We're under attack. We think of that in our own lives. I'm under attack. We think of that for our brothers and sisters. My brother, my sister is under attack. One of my sisters called the pastor this week weeping because she's under attack. Family member don't even want to come out of their room because they're under attack. There's animosity, there's hatred, there's bitterness, there's strife. Unity in the church has been compromised because new life is under attack. We get it. We recognize that reality. We see it so clearly. But Lord, we don't stop there. I think it would be very depressing and discouraging if we stopped there. We sense you're still speaking to us. And that you would remind us is that we would recognize, oh, we need you. Come on, just for a minute. We're going to pray in just a moment. But some of you in the room right now, you just need to respond to that. Jesus, I'm sorry. Because I've been searching after other things. I've been caught up in other things. I've forgotten that what I need is you. Just you. Father, this morning, this week, we hear your call to seek you, to chase after you. Father, some things we see in Psalm 63, but before any of us can leave this place, would you just speak to our hearts of how we can do that individually? How we can seek after you, and some of us are. We don't discount or discredit that. Some of us are, and we're glad for that. But Lord, we hear still your call, and it's the more that's added. We seek after you more. We chase after you harder. We draw closer still to you. Show us how we can do that. Speak to our hearts this morning. Draw us close in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the oppression. Oh, Jesus, draw us close to you, we pray. In Jesus' name. The Lord would reveal to us the reality. We're under attack. Darkness seems to reign for sure. But don't miss it this morning. The reminder today is Jesus. He makes the darkness to tremble. Causes the fear to go. The peace to come. And in him, for you and for me, really doesn't even matter the darkness. To be aware of it, yes. To be intimidated by the reality, no. To be fearful of it, no. Even in the midst of the reality that might be for us now, for us, it is well. It is well with me. Don't miss that message. What a depressing message if you just get the "we're under attack" part. We need him, and so we seek after him. Would you stand to your feet this morning? I pray that today you would hear the word of the Lord. Just quickly, this Sunday's message is going to be next Sunday's message. This is what I mean. I was ready to go. Had everything in place. Just needed to put the words together on the page. And just here Friday, sitting here in this front pew, just sense the Lord redirect. I believe this today for us is a word from the Lord. Each of us might respond differently, but it's a word from the Lord for us today. The reality we're living in, the recognition we need him, and so the response we seek after him. I hope that you hear the word of Jesus today and apply it to your life and let it change you. And I pray, would you extend your hand to receive today the blessing of the Lord? Come on, isn't the presence of Jesus good? We have met with the Lord in this place. We have gathered in this place to worship him, to meet with him, and we have. Amen. Oh, I pray it over you. I declare it. I speak it as under shepherd of the great shepherd, high priest of this assembly. The authority of God's word, I speak it as truth into your life. The Lord bless you. And the Lord keep you. And the Lord make his face to shine upon you and give to you his goodness and his grace and his favor and his joy. Come on. And I and his spirit and his power. I know we're getting extra biblical. We're adding to the prayer. But the Lord give you every good thing that he has for you. And I pray that the Lord turn to you and would give to you his peace. Would you receive that this morning? Amen and amen. God bless you.